Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. Northwest Missouri State University art students will be showing and selling their work at the annual Winter Art Show and Pottery Sale. Associate Professor of Art and Ceramics at the University, Laura Cookie, says the show is sponsored by Clay Club but encompasses all types of media, and it's an opportunity for area residents to find one-of-a-kind Christmas gifts.
At the end of each semester, we have the art club clay club show and sale. And what we have is we have a pottery sale happening, which is very popular, and we have also a display of artwork and sometimes some artworks for sale by students who work in photography, printmaking, painting, sculpture. All the different areas are represented. So,
who contributes to this sale?
Students from all the different areas. The sale is mostly run by the Clay Club, so it is the pottery sale is the attractor for people to come. But students from all the different areas participate.
Have you seen what types of art will be for sale at this year's show?
Things are in progress right now. I mean, we're actually firing kilns back-to-back these days, trying to get ready. And so we've got a lot of functional ceramics happening, some more sculptural objects. We also have a display of work by the beginning ceramics class, which is usually a giant display of works that the students have done in the introduction to ceramics class. So,
who benefits from the sale of these items?
Well, 85% of the money raised actually goes directly to the student who made the work that sold, and 15% of that sale price goes to into the Clay Club coffers to support field trips and other kinds of activities that the Clay Club does.
How does something like this benefit those students? You know, they create their art and then they sell it. How does this reflect what they're learning at the university, or how does it boost what they're learning?
Well, one of the things that, especially particularly in ceramics, there is a lot of repetition, and we learn from repetition a lot of the time. To be able to control the material, we make things over and over, and producing functional objects is a great way to do that. Another thing is that the students learn about how it might be as an independent artist who runs a studio and tries to make a living directly from their work. They learn a lot about what the public may be interested in or what the public may buy from them. They learn about the nuts and bolts of the commerce side of being an artist, I guess.
That was Associate Professor of Art and Ceramics at Northwest Missouri State University, Laura Cookie. She says the Winter Art Show and Pottery Sale will be tomorrow from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock and Saturday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. The show and sale will be in the Fire Arts Building behind the Olive Deluce Fine Arts Building on the Northwest Missouri State University campus in Maryville. The Sanders family will be moving from Branson to Chillicothe for a performance tomorrow night. Administrator for the Chillicothe Area Arts Council, Julie Ashbrook, says the Sanders family Christmas will be a fun way for the entire family to welcome the Christmas season.
It plays in Branson at the IMAX Theater, and they are going to make a stop in Chillicothe on Friday night at 7 p.m. December 16th to perform this show. It's a musical, and it's one of three in a series from Smoke on the Mountain, which is a long-time play that's performed around the country. The same characters are in Smoke on the Mountain that are in this Sanders Family Christmas.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the plot line is on this?
Yes, it's the setting is 1941, just right after Pearl Harbor, and it's set in the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in North Carolina, and people are at church and they're having an event, And so the setting is the sanctuary of this little country church. And during the course of the play, there are 25 bluegrass and gospel songs and old Christmas songs that are performed. And even though, you know, right after Pearl Harbor was a pretty sad time, this show is has a lot of comedy in it. And people who have seen it, I have not, but friends who have seen it say it's just hilarious. You can drive a long way and spend a lot of money to have something that raises your spirits at Christmas, but this is an affordable thing to do close to home, and it should be, you'll leave with a smile on your face.
That was Administrator for the Chillicothe Area Arts Council, Julie Ashbrook. She says A Sanders Family Christmas will be tomorrow evening at the Gary Dickinson Performing Arts Center in Chillicothe. Curtain time is 7 o'clock. Doors open to season ticket holders at 6:30 and to other ticket holders 5 minutes later. Tickets are available at the door. The Brownville Concert Series ends its season with a Christmas gala this weekend. Spokeswoman for the concert series, Jan Chisholm Wright, says this weekend's concert features talent straight from Broadway.
Oh, this is going to be marvelous. We're really excited. The Christmas gala is always our season topper, kind of like a tree topper. And we have Eric Michael Gillette, who's been here several times before and is coming back to much acclaim. And Eric Michael Gillette, he's bringing four Broadway singers with him. He was in Kiss Me Kate on Broadway and Sweet Smell of Success, and he's done a lot of cabaret as well. And he's bringing Valerie Lemon, who did a tribute to Jane Froman, Raissa Bennett, who was in Phantom the Opera, T. Oliver Reed, and he was in Chicago and Kiss Me Kate on Broadway, and then Jeff Cubetta, who was in Carmina and Burana. So a little bit of opera there, too, as well. And they have designed a show especially for the Brownville stage and audience.
Can you tell me a little bit about what they will be performing?
It will be Christmas, you know, both secular and religious songs, but basically a Christmas show that's been composed and arranged just for Brownville. It'll be special. It always is. It's usually a dazzling way to start your Christmas.
Now, this is Brownville, Nebraska. In the holiday season, what is it that draws these Broadway folks to the middle of the country during this time of year?
They love us. You wouldn't believe this. Valerie Lemon's been here once before, and Eric Michael Gillette's been here several times before. You wouldn't believe what a reputation Brownville has among cabaret singers. They just love to come here and perform because our audiences are so great, so appreciative. And it's so relaxing for them. It's not the, you know, the fast pace that they usually have and the kind of chilly audiences, you know, how they are in New York and Los Angeles and so forth. So they just love the warmth and the intimacy. And probably that's the biggest thing is the intimacy. It's such a small venue, and they get to have more rapport and give and take with the audience, and you know, the audience almost becomes part of the act, and they just really enjoy that. And you'd be amazed at we have quite a following, Brownville does, and on the cabaret circuit and on Broadway. It's amazing. This is our 21st season, so we've been doing this for a number of years, as you can see.
What do you attribute this success to?
Oh, we have people in the community who just really love good music, and I'll tell you, these are, and it's romantic music, it's swing, it's American Songbook, it's we also have classical, and we have jazz, and we just and it's the creme de la creme. I mean, it's just really, you know, top talent, and they're so exciting, and you get to see them up close and personal like nowhere else. I mean, you could go to the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel. It'll cost you a fortune, you know, in travel expenses and hotels and just getting in. And you can see them there, but you're going to be packed in with a big crowd. Whereas you can come to Brownville and for as much as $23, you know, see the top people in New York and for a lot, you know, for a lot less money, and get to talk to them even. So it's just such a treat. There's nothing like it. I haven't found anything like it anywhere else.
That was spokeswoman for the Brownville Concert Series, Jan Chisholm Wright. She says Fridays and Saturdays concerts begin at 7:30 and feature a wine bar and Christmas treats at intermission. Sunday's performance begins at 2 o'clock with Christmas treats at intermission. The St. Joseph Community Chorus will be joined by the Fountain City Brass Band for its upcoming Christmas concert. Dr. David Benz is the artistic director of the St. Joseph Community Chorus. He says the Fountain City Brass Band is an internationally known band that won the Scottish Open Brass Band competition.
We will be performing together, although they do have a set of things that they play by themselves. In terms of the music that the audience will hear, I kind of created the idea to start with a hallelujah and end with a hallelujah. And so we start with the hallelujah of Ludwig Beethoven and end with the hallelujah of Handel from Messiah. Of course, the Fountain City Brass Band, their artistic director is Dr. Lee Harrelson, who is on the music faculty here at Missouri Western. He does a wonderful job of writing music for the band. And so he has scored all of the things that we'll be performing together for the band. So wonderful music. And we'll also be doing a couple of other of the choruses from Messiah. And then a new work, The Gloria by Randall Bass, which of course is turned out to be the favorite work of both the band members and the chorus members.
That was the artistic director of the St. Joseph Community Chorus, Dr. David Benz. He says Christmas at the Cathedral with Fountain City Brass will be Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock and Monday evening at 7:30. Both concerts will be at the Cathedral at 519 North 10th Street in downtown St. Joseph. Tickets are available at the door. The Nottoway Chorale continues a tradition with its annual Christmas program next week. Michael Phillips is the conductor and artistic director for the Nottoway Chorale. He says this is the third year for the chorale's Candlelight Christmas Concert.
And we do a mix of pieces from secular to religious. So we try to tell a little bit of the Christmas story. We try to involve the audience in a little sing-along and get everybody in the mood for the coming holidays. And then following the concert, the chorale singers prepare Christmas goodies, cookies and candy and treats and coffee for a little get-together after the concert.
How much time do the chorale members have to put into rehearsing and just preparing for a concert like this?
Well, we do three concerts a year. We try to get anywhere from 8 to 10 rehearsals between concerts. We rehearse on Monday evenings from 7 to 9. We do have occasional sectional rehearsals, but we don't ask the folks to do any preparation on their own. We do all the preparation during our rehearsal time. And but they're a pretty dedicated group. They some come as far as 40 miles away to sing with us, and this is our seventh season, so we've been together for a while. We keep adding singers as time goes by, and we'll always have a dress rehearsal just before. We'll have a dress rehearsal Saturday morning. And then the concert, of course, is Tuesday evening at 7:30.
Now, you and the other members of the chorale put in all this time rehearsing and then also preparing the treats for this concert. What is it that keeps you doing this?
We have a mission. I think it's pretty generally well known that choir singing in the churches has fallen on kind of hard times. Very few churches have active choirs anymore, and many of those members are looking for an alternative outlet and quite honestly some more challenging opportunities to do larger works. There's a social aspect to the chorale. Over time, we get to know one another fairly well, and our lives tend to intermingle somewhat, and we have a fairly strong connection with one another.
About this upcoming concert, is there anything about this that you're particularly looking forward to, anything that you're very excited about performing?
Well, I'm very excited about the whole thing. It's a great mood time for me, and frankly, I get my biggest thrill out of leading people to accomplish things that they never thought they could. We have a couple of interesting guests singing with us this time. That's going to be a real highlight. That's all I'll say about that. There'll be a couple of surprises. And we usually have some fun with the 12 Days of Christmas involving the audience as well. So it's just generally a good time, and we all seem to really look forward to it.
That was the conductor and artistic director for the Nottoway Chorale, Michael Phillips. He says the Candlelight Christmas concert will be Tuesday at the First United Methodist Church at First and Main Streets in Maryville. The concert begins at 7:30. Tickets are available from chorale members, from the Maryville Chamber of Commerce office, or at the door.
The Descendants is one of the best movies of the year that isn't showing in our area. But since it'll be a contender for Academy Award nominations in several fields, maybe we'll finally get it scheduled here. If not, it's an excellent choice to put on your DVD queue to see it when it's released. The Descendants is aptly titled. It's a family film on a couple of levels. Matt King, played by George Clooney here, is a legal trustee of 25,000 acres of the last undeveloped and unspoiled land on the Hawaiian island of Kalua. The land is the last parcel owned by the numerous descendants of the marriage of missionaries and Hawaiian royalty in the 18th century. A majority of this big family wants to sell to developers, but many others want the land to remain unspoiled. At another family level, Matt's wife Elizabeth, a pathological risk taker, is comatose after a boating accident. He's always been an absentee father to his two daughters, 17-year-old Alexandra, Shailene Woodley here, and Scotty, who's 10. Matt's been immersed in his legal practice, though, like the rest of the family, he has no need to work. They're all rich. Both daughters are troubled. Scotty swears like a sailor and bullies fellow students. Alexandra is in full teen rebellion and consigned to a boarding school. We see Matt go to Elizabeth's hospital room and beseech his comatose wife. Wake up, Elizabeth. I'm ready to be a real husband and a real father. Wake up, wake up. But the doctor tells him that she won't be waking up, and her health directive requires him to take her off life support in the event she's brain dead, which she is. So Matt brings his older daughter, Alexandra, home and tells her that her mother is comatose. She hates her mother. In an angry outburst, Alex reveals that Elizabeth was having an affair and may have had others in the past. Matt is crushed and is obsessed with finding out who her lover was. The rest of this family theme has Matt discovering his wife's secret life and deciding what to do about it. And on the larger family theme, he must decide what to do about selling the family's unspoiled land. As trustee, he has sole authority. Should he follow the wishes of the majority of the family, or should he follow his heart? The Descendants could easily have been just another family melodrama about the lives of the rich and fatuous. But excellent direction by Alexander Payne and wonderful performances lift The Descendants above mere melodrama. Clooney probably took this role for peanuts, relatively speaking, of course, for a chance to show his acting chops, and he makes the most of the opportunity. In a great scene, after he finds out about his wife's infidelity, he chases everyone out of her hospital room and rages at the comatose Elizabeth to release his frustration. Clooney is totally de-hunked, looking a bit pudgy and gray, but he still has that great whiskey nicotine voice. Director Payne does lingering close-ups in which Clooney reveals his emotions without dialogue, and when Elizabeth's father berates him for not providing more things for his daughter, who he says was a perfect and wonderful wife and mother, Clooney shows how he's biting his tongue to keep from telling the old man the truth. Other great scenes abound. When Matt tells his daughter, Alexandra, that Elizabeth will be taken off life support, she dives into the swimming pool and screams her conflicting feelings underwater. But she's furious with her mother for her infidelities, and when she goes into Elizabeth's room, she confronts her own irresponsible behavior, saying, "I wanted to be like you, and I am. I'm exactly like you." But dealing with her feelings has transformed her from spoiled brat to responsible young woman who actually guides her father in his dilemma about confronting Elizabeth's lover, who's a married man with a family. Director Payne also takes full advantage of the beauties of the Hawaiian landscape and seascapes. It's a visually beautiful film. The Descendants is likely to get Best Picture nominations and maybe Best Actor nominations for Clooney and Supporting Actor for Shailene Woodley, who's a real find. I'm giving it 4.5 stars out of 5, and I might even throw in a large popcorn. And I hope theaters in our broadcast area will soon schedule it.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.